share the word of the Lord with us tonight. God bless Brother Lamas. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about this? Psalm 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Anybody have any spiritual hunger pains tonight? That's only 2-3 of y'all. Anybody have any spiritual hunger pains tonight? Thank you, Lord, for what we feel. Help us to receive. Help us to receive what you are about to pour out here tonight, God. Thank you. Fivefold ministry. Thank you for the supernatural. Thank you for Pastor and Sister Glover. Thank you for SPC, God. Thank you for those that are in Kenai here tonight under Pastor and Sister Wicker. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to receive your outpouring. Yeah. Ooh. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the King tonight. Thank you, Bishop. I'm going to give you a break tonight. I'm going to give you a break from the no-nonsense message. We'll bring another part Sunday.
Okay.
Hopefully more radical than the last one I did here. Amen. So we'll take a break tonight. Amen. And bring you something that I feel from the Lord tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I feel good. Some of you that didn't get up and worship or did a little twirly finger, you might be some dead wood around here. Move a little pinky. Don't be reeky dinky. Hallelujah. God. Woo! Glory to God. Man, you see what I see here tonight. Amen. Oh, thank you, sir. Since my testimony's here, in a little while, I got some testimonies here, Bishop. Yes, we got, I'm going to read them in just a minute. I'm going to talk to you from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, but I'm just going to, from the King James, I'm just going to read a little part, and then we'll go into the Passion here in just a bit. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. We already prayed, so you can just remain seated. It's going to be all right. It says, I press toward the mark. That's all I want to read. Another translation says, I press on toward the mark. So I want to talk to you on press on. And again, I say, press on. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I looked at this and read Philippians, I don't know, since the beginning of the year, 30, 40, 50 times already. And did some background work on it and try to cut it up a little bit and try to do some more research, Brother Mike Glover. And press on toward, watch this, press on toward. The Apostle Paul makes a conscious effort to keep his eyes on the prize. Promise to him by God. And so he lives a focus life. Many definitions to this. To urge with force or weight. To urge or strain in motion. To urge forward with force. So in, if you read above that in Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 through 16. He mentions the word perfect twice. Or perfection. And so I let a little bit more work. And so Paul talks about perfection. Just bear with me a minute here, and we hopefully we're going to take off. Perfection. In the New Testament, a Greek term for perfection is quote unquote maturity. Maturity. And the Bible speaks of maturity in terms of a Greek word often translated quote unquote perfect. But the meaning is quote unquote fully formed or quote unquote brought to completion. And ladies and gentlemen, that takes time. Because maturity is not so much a destination as it is a journey or road full of twists and turns. Feeling something here now. Yeah. A part of maturity is the destination to finish the journey and to complete the course. Maturity is looking back at the end of life's journey and saying, like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. But I got some news for you here tonight. Few of us are at that place in life. Why? Because the road is full of challenges. And you can recognize some of the indications that you are making progress when you face disappointment and you realize that life will go on. Woo! Hallelujah! You are making progress when you realize that maturity is a journey and not a destination. So you gotta press on in this life, in the Christian life. We gotta press on. And again, I say, press on. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. First one, wait a minute. Maybe I should skip that one. Nah, go ahead and put that one on, Brother Aaron. I think we all need it. Don't be over spiritual. Nobody does good all the time. I'm talking to the ones without the halos. You got a halo? More power to you. Is that? There you go, Bishop. Come on now. Come on now. And Paul is writing to the Philippians, but he's not there. He ain't there with them cats. He might be in Rome in a prison. Some say he's at Ephesus. Some say that he's in house arrest. House arrest, regardless, he in jail. Huh? And from the Passion Translation, it says this: I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. But I run with passion. Help me here, Lord. I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus, watch this, for what? Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. Passion goes on to say, however, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight. Don't go back, man. He said, I run straight. Well, you don't know what I've done. Man, you don't know what I've done either, man. It's behind me. He said, I went straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize, hyphen right there, victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all are fully mature have the same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize hyphen. Following one path with one passion. I read that, Brother Simeon. I read that over and over and over and over and over and over again. And if I can be honest with you folks tonight, it's difficult for me to read this text that we read and not be challenged. What's this? Not be challenged by the spirit of the words that are embedded in this text. Listen to the Spirit of God as it speaks through us, through the words of the Apostle Paul. Not that I have already obtained all this or I have already been made perfect, but I press on. Just bear with me here. We're going to take it. Bear with me. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So, Minister Glover, if I had to paraphrase this in my own words,
all right.
Minister Mitchell, this is what I would say. After reviewing my life, what about you, Cass Life? My life. I'm not there yet, Lamas. I'm talking to Lamas. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And while I'm on my way, I want to alert you, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. Because I'm pressing. Woo! I'm pressing. So don't get in my way because I'll run you over. I'm pressing. I'm no longer wasting my time and energy on something or someone that is irreversible or irretrievable. I've grown to the place now where I'm not getting upset about what I cannot change. The past is simply the past, and so you just have to let it pass.
That's right.
There's no doubt in my mind as I study Paul that Paul is very serious when he pins these words here in Philippians. He's not just talking. He's not just talking just to hear himself talk. But Paul... That's what you, I know how you read the Bible sometimes. Amen. How you hear ministers bring forth the word of God. And I've been here long enough. Amen. When I haven't preached, that I do listen to Bishop here a lot of times during his Thursday night Bible studies and even Sunday when I don't have any place to preach. But I attend to listen. Not only of what he's talking about. Not only of what he's preaching about. Oh, but there's something for Lamas and nobody else in this joint. There's something that's coming out of his spirit that I got to catch. That I got to catch because it's only for me. And if the Lord sees fit, it's going to be for somebody else in my testimony on down the road. But I got to press on.
Right.
Same thing with Pastor Wicker. You got to catch what's coming out of Pastor Wicker's spirit. And not only the words that he speaks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Paul is intentionally passionate about this word. This is not an exercise. Paul has prayed. He's in prison. Paul has reflected over his life. And Paul isn't just saying to say this. But as I read just this part of this text in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, watch this. You can feel the conviction in his word, amen, in both the moral character and persuasion and an emotional appeal that he makes in these few verses. The Apostle Paul is saying, look now, I haven't already obtained all of this, or I have not already been made perfect. For your perfect people. Now, I'm not saying you go ahead and get out of here and go sin. That's not what I'm saying. Catch my spirit, okay? He says, but I do know this. I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. In other words, it's apparent to me, at least if I read it, that there's something in Paul that causes him to leap forward and to move forward. And if you penetrate or you peel back the layers, ladies and gentlemen, of this text, I think you will discover that there is a power innate in Paul that's driving him, is pushing him. And yet that challenges Fernando Lamas. And if I had to identify what I think it is, ladies and gentlemen, that one word is passion.
All right. All right.
Next one, Brother Aaron. Passion. The word passion here is used as a noun, enthusiasm, or desire for anything. So let's watch this. Passion here is used as a noun. It's what determines if we thrive or if we just survive. Too many apostolics are just surviving and not thriving. Because we got a whole lot of junk that we're dealing with. Well, welcome to the club in the book of Acts. And I'm going to go further than that. If you and I do not get drunk sometimes in our services, I don't think we're really a book of Acts church. Like I told you last week, we can talk about the devil all we want to. And people go, rah, rah, rah. When we talk about the fivefold ministry, supernatural, and angels, y'all get shook up. Y'all actually, people, not I'm talking about the apostolic church, Brother Mike, gets, this is spooky. Well, God, well, I guess the devil ain't spooky to you. He must be in your house then. Come on now. Come on. Right? Yeah, y'all still here? Right in the book of Acts church?
Yeah.
Right. Boy, I'm glad three or four of you are just say hello. Hello. Next one, Brother Aaron. It's going to get better, I think. Next one, right here. Watch this. Passion is the power you feel that comes from what excites you. Passion is what causes you to catch a glimpse of your potential. Let them wonderful, let them songs we sang tonight, Brother Mike, them songs we sang tonight. Whew. I guess I've been here, being pastor me about 50 years in the faith, but you know what? Those songs still excite me, Sister Nichols. They excite me. Every time I come to church and we got different ways that we portray ourselves in excitement, Sister Walker, but every time I come to the house of God, it excites me. Sometimes I'm juking and jiving, and sometimes I'm just crying, and sometimes I've just got a deep thing within me, Brother Matt, that is rising up in me. It don't make no difference. I still got a passion, and that's what excites me. We get excited about everything else, but what about God? What about the passion to live for Him? Next one, Aaron. Life is too short to live with a half-empty passion bucket. And if you are, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings tonight. What I'm about to say, because I often got to shake myself. I heard a very prominent pastor the other day. I heard him speaking, because people make fun of me because I repent a whole bunch of times during the day. Some people do not see the need to repent every day. But I heard a prominent, big-time UPCI pastor, and I'm glad he said it because he's got a huge church. He said, I have repented hundreds of times today. I knew he'd get quiet. I knew it. I said, I'm glad you said it. I meant to say, no, I want to mention his name. Life is too short to live with a half-empty passion bucket. And by the way, if you're half-baked tonight as a Christian, ask the Lord, Lord, help me with the other side. Y'all catch that downstairs here in a little bit. Come on. What is it in your life that you're passionate about? What is it in the kingdom of God that you are passionate about? There's no doubt in my mind that the apostle is passionate about Jesus. He's passionate about preaching. He says, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, I'm passionate about Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. So Paul is driven by this passion. He says, I want to know Christ. And I thought about that, Brother Perkins. Right? I thought about that. Wait a minute, Paul? You radical? No, no. So I embedded it to me. He said, why is that important? So here's what I came up with. Because if you don't know Christ, you won't be able to deal with the haters in your life. And if you don't know Christ, you won't be able to deal with the heartbreakers in your life. And if you don't know Christ, you won't be able to know how to deal with the demons or disappointments in your life. And if you don't know Christ, you won't have any power in your life. You can come to church and be powerless unless you know Jesus the Christ. And if there's no power in your life, you won't be able to handle what's this my situation right now and everybody else's situation, Bishop, that you may be going through. What's this unless you know Christ Jesus the Christ, and if there be no power in your life, you won't know how to handle the things that bring tears to your eyes. And if you haven't cried in a while, you may not be apostolic. Because it is at that breaking, Sister Lord, that I got to know him. Like Paul, in the power of his resurrection, because I have to be able to deal systemically with all this going on. I know I'm saved. I know I'm baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not hating on anybody, and I'm not down on anybody, but if I really know him in the power of his resurrection, I have to know Jesus the Christ in order to deal with the situations in my life. And sometimes it's a shout, sometimes it's a groaning, sometimes it's a moaning, sometimes it's a booing, and sometimes it's just a bunch of tears. Right. True. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus the Christ, you will live in defeat and never be able to come to grips with your pain. Can you already see I'm going to have to cut across the field tonight? In my personal opinion tonight, Brother Matt, in my personal opinion tonight, to my buddy, I believe that one of the reasons why the Apostolic Church suffers today is because it has become passionate about the wrong things. So I hope you didn't come tonight with leaving on your mind, because I came with preaching on my mind. Can I share with you? I love good music and I love good singing. Yes, I do. I love the hymns of the church as well as the wonderful, wonderful contemporary gospel songs, amen, and the traditional songs. But I am not as passionate about the music as I am about Jesus Christ, because you and I can sing and sing a lie. Hope you caught that. But if you have power in your life, what you're singing about makes all the difference in the world. That means if you have passion, you will never become satisfied with oneself. So you don't dwell on your complacency or your attainments. No, you are able to throw yourself into your work. I know the church is always crying about money, 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 money. But if the church is passionate about Jesus Christ, the money will come. You pay your tithes and your offerings. We're living in an era where folk like to be entertained. Amen. Go find you another church. Amen. This ain't no entertainment in SPC here. Right. Right. Yeah, Kenai. But my brothers and sisters, the church is not your place of entertainment. Because I have to believe tonight, some folk did not come here tonight to be entertained. Maybe somebody laid down last night and you were wondering, how in the world? I almost went southern, but let me dress it up. How in the world? That's better. If I was down in, how in the world am I going to get up in the morning? Because I need a word tonight, Bishop. I need a Lord tonight. I need Holy Ghost tonight. So I didn't come to SPC on a snowy Thursday night to be entertained. Lamas needs a word. SPC needs a word. KM needs a word. This district needs a word. Well, I'm telling you, the glory cloud is here. Hallelujah. You need a word. You don't have to be entertained. You need a word. You came to be empowered by the word because you know that the power of God is in your life. And you can take it and you can take a licking and keep on ticking. So Paul obviously demonstrates his passion to know Christ and he challenges us in the church. You see, it's a sad day. And I tell, because I know you train a lot of ministers and all that, Bishop. But back in the South, I mean, I do train some young ministers. It's a sad day, though, and I tell them this. It's a sad day if you don't know how to pray. You want to pray 5 or 10 minutes, you're going to preach wrong answer. Sit down. It's a sad day. Somebody presiding in the pulpit, and there's no passion in their life. How are you going to preach the word of God, and you ain't got no power to preach? You got to have some passion in your life. You got to have some drive in your life. You got to have some energy in your life. And can I say it like I feel it? Can I say it like I feel it? You got to have some Holy Ghost and fire. Yeah. All right. Amen. Amen. Don't come tell me in the South. I'm not from this district. In the South, don't come tell me you want a mic if you ain't pray, you ain't doing the fasting, you ain't reading the Word of God, you ain't faithful to the house of God, you don't pay your obligation. Don't. Sit down, boy. Sit down, chick. No, I'll get off my southern thing, okay? So you've been born again. Oh, my, okay. You've been born again, and when you've been consecrated, and when you've been anointed, because God does not anoint you and does not give you some enemies. Yeah, SPC, Kenai, you got enemies. It is okay. So when God anoints you, the expectation is there's going to always be somebody come against you. I won't go there, but just mentioning David. If you really, really dig into David's life, if you really dig into the deep down history embedded in the text When Samuel anointed David, if you really do some deep prayer and searching it out, when Samuel anointed David, he anointed David with 6 quarts of oil. Wow. But for us, not much to let a dad would do. Do some history work on it. Do some history work on it. 6 quarts. Paul says, I press toward. All right, let me cut some more fuel here. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I got passion. No, I won't answer this question, so I got to skip it. No, I won't answer that either. Okay, I got to go. But when you have passion and you're living for the Lord, like I said, you don't have to act like an idiot like me, okay? But there's sometimes that you can hardly contain yourself. And people right now looking at me, God, Lama, how are you going through all that? Because I got joy. Yeah. And you said the key word, I got joy. We say, joy in my soul. Yeah. Is it? Let me dress it up. No, it's not. I'm sorry, I got to catch myself here. Pull me here, because I got to catch myself. I'm mad. That's something really coming out of me right now. Whew. You can hardly contain yourself. And people, Brother Glover, people are looking at you like you're some kind of turkey, some kind of idiot, some kind of hazard. No, you're the hazard. Get out of my way, you waste. Come on, it don't take all that one every night for you, but it does for me. And I say, sick him, Lord. Send it the craziest, hardest trial in the life. Sick him! We'll see who's right and who's wrong. We'll see how well you do, man. Y'all sure got quiet. Why y'all getting quiet on me here? Come on. It's the same kind of condition Paul has, Brother Mike, and you and I have, Mother Mitch have, and some of the others, maybe Tom, and maybe Greg, I don't know, maybe Alex, who knows, maybe Chica over here, maybe hopefully Aaron, Matt, amen, now, it's the same kind of condition that Jeremiah had in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. It's like fire shut up in my bones. If you don't have any passion, church becomes routine. And if you don't have any passion, you don't have any expectation when you come to church. And if you have any passion, the devil will get you burdened down with little trivial stuff and make you lose your focus. But if you got passion, that means you're going to push through some stuff to get to where God wants you to be. Watch this. So God can take you to where God wants to take you. I'm cutting some more yardage off of this thing here. Because we got to pray. I'm streamlining this thing. Much as I don't like to do it, but I'm going to streamline it. Passion. Press on. Why? Because I'm serious. I'm serious about living for God. I'm serious about this thing. Now, I have my fun. I have my recreation. I have my hobbies. But what Paul's talking about, I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious about salvation. I'm serious about somebody getting saved. I'm serious about somebody getting delivered and set free. This ain't no game for llamas tonight. All right. I'm not up here trying to be cute, trying to oppress anybody. I didn't come to play no games. When I was a child, I grew up on board games. Anybody grew up on board games? I grew up on Milton Bradley, and I grew up on Parker Brothers, and I grew up on Scramble. But I don't come to church to play no Scrabble. You do that on game night. You got some of them here, Bishop. You got some folk in the church. You got some of them here playing Monopoly. They think they own everything, and whenever you land on their space, it's their territory. Whoa. Yeah, you can't say amen. That's good, because I'm saying, oh. Sound like a crazy cow. Oh. Last time when Brother Perkins and I were coming from prayer, what was it, about 2:15, 2:30 in the morning? We went, and then with big old headlights, 30 caribou in the middle of the road, Bishop. Beautiful caribou. But he saw it enough that we had a lot of distance to stop, you know, and the snow was coming down like nutty, wasn't it? Man, so there they are, beautiful. I said, I'm glad Buck Foster and them are not in orbit. They took them all. I know them Dover guys, Guyana people. That lasts me 2 years, baby. And beautiful, just went, two baby calves. Ran on by. Ran on by. Amen. I didn't come to play Monopoly. The price is right. Some trivial pursuit, because the stuff that they whisper in your ear ain't nothing but trivia. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't come to hear no trivia. I came to hear a testimony. Woo-hoo-hoo! Y'all ready for some hardcore testimonies? And then we'll close it. Okay? Chill out. See who's here? Okay. Let me cover up some of these words here. Testimony. I had blankety blank with a bunch of men and women. Stuff came off. Heroin. I stole. I lied. I cheated. I was just an addict. But Jesus Christ delivered me from that and dressed me in white. You can talk about me all you want, but I've been set free. Woo! Come on now. Come on now. Another one. I was an agnostic / atheist not more than a year ago. I used to think, boy, them apostolic Christians are psychotic. I love this kind of testimonies, because when God turns them around, weird people. Thank you. I love that compliment. I used to get sick and cringe at the idea of prayer and worship. I now say, God is real. He set me free. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. He has humbled me. And if you humble yourself, he says, God will find you. Another one. Before Jesus, I was suicidal. I was that tragic story, and I won't say the words, with no self-worth. I sold my so-and-so on OnlyFans for money, and it led me to considering suicide. Demonic spirits had a hold of me until Jesus set me free. You see, and they said, that's why I worship Jesus openly, and I'm not ashamed. He saved me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me in Jesus' name. I'm not ashamed of my past. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward. And one more, and I'll bring some more on Sunday. I talked to a pastor friend of mine who I preach a lot for outside of Houston. Man, crazy church over there. He texted me. Lamas, I said, what's up, Bo? He said, I went to the bank the other day. And I drove down. He said, I was going to open up another account for the church. It's just another account, you know. He said, we were standing outside talking, and a man walks up to me and puts $1,000 cash in his pocket. And he says, I don't know you, sir, but this is for you, sir. Have a blessed day. Woo! Come on now. That's supernatural. That's part of fivefold ministry. Come on now. Come on now. Woo! All right. We're heading down. We done landed, okay? I have to take a big chunk of that in the middle out. I took 5 pages out, so that's good. We're going to land here in a minute. Paul said, I want to know Christ, because if I've got the same power that Christ got, when I'm in a dead situation, I might be there for 3 days, but I know I'm coming out. Woo! Woo! We got another PowerPoint? Because I cut the grass. Put that booger up there, if I do. That's it. Oh, I only had 40. Okay. All right. So watch this, Pastor. If I got the same power that Christ got, my enemies may talk about me. They might rebuke and scorn me. They may put a cross on me, and they may put me in a tomb, put something in front of me. It might get darker, but I know God has never forsaken me, and I know God's going to bring me out. So when God knocks you down and God puts you on your back and you can't get up, even if you wanted to, then the Lord turns around and gives you new strength, and God takes the wind out of you. It's nothing but a wake-up call. Anybody ever had a wake-up call here in the last 6 months? Well, you were pressed against the wall. The news didn't look good. Doctor said we done everything we were going to do. And turn around and the miracle smiles in your face, just like the pastor here did. It's a wake-up call. Paul got a wake-up call on the road to Damascus, and the Lord knocked him down, and Paul got back up, and Paul began to pray. And the passion of God from then on set him loose. Here's what Paul says. He said, I got one single focus now. He says, I'm on my way to glory. He says, and I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm on my way, and I can see the finish line. And I'm straining, and I'm stretching. I don't know how you feel about it. And now you mentor a lot of people. Some have lasted, and probably some hadn't lasted. I mentor a lot of people. I mentor some strong Marines, Navies, Navy SEALs, kind of speaking, and I thought I had mentored some Green Berets and some Rangers, and but they did turn out to be wussies. Of course, when I get to mentoring back in the South, when I get to mentoring some guys, some girls back in the South, I start to stretch them. And when I stretch them, they like to mentor, but when I start to stretch them, they start to get angry with me. You don't have any passion. Paul said, I'm going to finish, but I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. I come to tell people tonight, I ain't got time for nobody holding me down. Thank God I ain't got time for nobody to stay where I'm at. I'm on an assignment. I go to where God wants me to go. I got to go. Do I have anybody in this house tonight? Amen. To go on the name of Jesus. All right. I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed. I'm on my way to glory. And ain't nobody going to turn me around, because I pressed toward the mark. Right. Do I have anybody in this house that likes to sing that own hymn? And Sister Glover knows it well. A lot of us know it well. Pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I'm homeward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tables land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I don't know, but in this season of my life, whatever's going on, I'm going higher. I'm going higher. Brother Matt, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing through. I'm getting out of here. I've been in this place too long. Sometimes it's too low. This is beneath me. God's got higher heights and deeper, deeper depths for us to go. Press on, church. Press on until you get to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If you're here tonight, and you feel like you're lacking strength and you're lacking energy and excitement in life for you, and you become routine, mediocre, I'm going to ask you, you need some passion. I can't give it to you. You can't order this online. eBay don't carry it. Amazon.com don't supply it. But if you come to Jesus, in just a minute, if you come to Jesus, why? Because what's this? Oh, we are so obsessed. We are so obsessed with what's next that we miss the fact that there is a supernatural move of God in this place right now. Are you ready? Let's stand. Are you ready? Are you ready? Don't mix your necks. Because if you mix your necks, he won't be able to take you where he wants to take you. I'm pressing on. 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 There's glory over this house. There's glory over this house. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. Would you come? The altars are open. I need you. I need you.